kind of have a little bit of personal preference here this morning. You know, I was just informed by Tony that a friend had lost a coworker, and you know what it is in a body of Christ and a body of believers is, I truly believe this, is that when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one hurts, we all hurt. And when one mourns, we all mourn. And so as we gather here this morning, I want us to remember our loved ones. I want us to remember our friends. And that although that she is hurting this morning, we're here for you. We're here with you. We're here with you, beside you. God bless you. I also want to talk a little bit this morning before I get into my sermon. It's a topic and something near and dear to me. As some of y'all may know, I am a veteran. And Carrie will say, the older I get, the grumpier I get. I have to learn I can't post anything on Facebook anymore because I get in trouble. But besides that, I've learned to really get thick-skinned. A lot of things try not to bother me anymore. Things that might, I try not to let them bother me, or I worry about what people would think about me or whatever. And as Tony knows, I really don't care anymore. But anyway, that being said, there is a website on Facebook. There's a page on Facebook. It's called Till Valhalla Project. I don't know if any of y'all heard about this. I wear a bracelet. And something that's near and dear to me is a veteran, around 22 veterans a day take their lives to suicide. One is too many. 22 is way too many. And so it's TillValhallaProject.com. They have a lot of gear on there. There's a lot of, if you're ex-military, a lot of cool military stuff on there. But the good thing about this is the proceeds that they get on this goes back to the loved ones, the people that have lost a loved one to suicide. I don't want to, like I say, I don't want to bring anybody down this morning, but for me, that's something that's very near and dear to my heart. As a veteran, as a pastor, I have counseled some people like that, and it's always good to talk someone back from the dark side. So anyway, that being said, I want to get into my sermon this morning, and I'll try not to take up too much of your time. I'll try to be out of here by at least 2:30. But everybody's like, we're out of here already, you know. But if you want to follow along, it's John chapter 6, verse 16 through 21. And let me kind of set the stage here a little bit before I read the scriptures. And I really want to talk about the disciples and the believers in this part. And the believers is us, the brethren. And to set the stage for this, Jesus got through performing a miracle that was beyond miracles. He just got through feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Outstanding miracle. And what was interesting is his disciples are always with him, right? Most of the time, they're always with him. They're seeing what's going on, and they're seeing this. So now, what I titled my sermon as, Why the Storm? Why the Storm? You see, these disciples of Jesus Christ, the apostles of Jesus Christ, they were doing what they have asked him, or what he has asked them to do. They had seen him do all kind of miracles. They had seen him heal sick. They have seen him feed many people. And all these things they've seen with their own eyes. Now, in the end of this feeding of the 5,000, he goes up to the mountain because he's afraid they're going to make him king. Not the physical king. He didn't want to be that yet, okay? And so he goes up to the mountain, but yet he tells them to get into the boat and go to the other side. All right? And so they do this. They get to the boat and they go to the other side. Now, this is where I want to read the scripture to you. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, you can. I'm going to read it out loud out of the NSAB. Now, when evening came, the disciples went down to the sea. And after getting to the boat, they started across the Sea of Capernaum, or to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to stir because a storm had been blowing. Then when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus on the sea drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." So they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was carried to the other side. So now we have set the stage. They have just seen all these miracles. They've gotten to the boat, and they went to the other side, or in the process of going to the other side. You see, what's interesting is, were these apostles, were these disciples, was a boat or the sea new to them? No. They were born on the sea, more or less, right? That's what they did. They were fishermen. They made their living on the sea. And yet, so they understood how the sea works. They even understood that the Sea of Galilee was a sea that could brew up great storms all of a sudden. All right? So remember all this. Remember all this as we get into the body of this sermon. So we put ourselves in their shoes for a moment, okay? We put ourselves there. They're in the boat. They're sailing across, and they're even rowing a little bit. And they get about 3 to 4 miles across the Sea of Galilee. I want to throw a little trivia question out there. Does anybody know how far it is across from the Sea of Galilee, from where they were going to where they're headed? Anybody have any idea? It's about 7 miles. 7 miles. So they were a little over halfway there, right? Remember that part. So now they're on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes brewing, and it comes and it brews up, and it's a major storm. And what did they do? They freaked out. They freaked out. Now, this is not their first rodeo, right? This is not their first storm. It's not their first boat. And they were doing exactly what Jesus had asked them to do. And yet, this storm comes in. So I ask you, why the storm? So in our lives itself, we can be doing exactly what Christ asks us to do, right? We can be in that place that he wants us to be. We can be doing exactly what he wants us to do. And we think life is good, right? We get in the boat. We're comfortable. We're in that boat. We know this boat. We're in that boat. We get to where we're going. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all that, something happens. Huh. And it may be something we're comfortable at, right? It may be at work. It may be something that you're good at. It may be preaching. It may be whatever it is. But something comes up. And instead of going to God in prayer, we freak out. We freak out. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why is the storm here? Have you ever asked God that? Right? Have you ever gotten real with God and say, "Look, I'm doing everything you want me to do. I'm going everywhere you want me to go. And now you put this here." Let me rephrase that. He didn't put that there. He allowed it to happen. Okay? So why the storm? Why is that? Why would God put a storm in our life when everything seems to be going well, and all of a sudden, boom, this happens? You see, a lot of people want to say, well, you know, it was the devil. He put a stumbling block in there or whatever, this or that. I sometimes think the devil gets way too much credit. Okay? I'm not saying that he's not real. He is very real. But what I want to say this is that those of us that have been through basic training, remember those days? Oh, those wonderful days of basic training, weren't they? Yes, 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 the gas chamber and all those nice things were there. They trained us to do one thing, to go to war. But in the midst of all that, they trained us. They were preparing us for that. You only get the actual training when you get to your duty assignment. And you start doing those things. You start going out to the field. You start doing these things. I think it's the same way with God. You look at me like, what? No, really. God sometimes will place a storm in our life to see how we're going to react. To see how we're going to face that storm. Are we going to face that storm head on? Are we going to buckle down and keep rowing and keep on going? Or are we going to freak out? Two things are going to happen. Either we're going to carry on and move on, or we're going to freak out. But whatever happens in the midst of that, we're not going to get a failing grade. We're not going to get a failing grade. Even in the midst of all that, when they almost rowed halfway across the Sea of Galilee to get to where they were going, the storm was raging. He's up on the mountain. He goes, okay, I think maybe they've been there long enough. He comes down, and he starts to walk on the water. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that would have kind of freaked me out a little bit too. You know, imagine the lightning, the rain, the sheets of rain, everything coming down, and you happen to look out in the midst of the lightning, and you see a man walking on water. Whoa, right? They were thinking in some of the other gospel accounts, they think it's a ghost. They think it's an apparition. And yet he comes and he says, no, it is I. It is I. And so even in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their chaos, he comes to them. Follow me here? So even in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your chaos, you are not alone. Even if it's a test, even if it's a trial, you are not alone. He is right there with you. He is guiding your path. He's hoping to train you to get to the other side. But even if you don't make it, he's going to get in the boat with you, and he's going to carry you to the other side. If you didn't hear what the scripture says at the end of that, they were immediately taken to the other side. Immediately they were taken out of the storm. And I don't want to get too caught up in that, because sometimes he allows us to go plumb through the storm to get to the other side. Now, although he can do just the same thing, he can plug us out of it and was right across there. So God is God. God can do that. Maybe he thinks, well, maybe you can't make it to the other side. It's going to be too troublesome for you. Let me help you. So that's what the storms are about. Sometimes the storms can be something that I would consider small, but to another individual, it may be a mountain, right? So don't ever look on somebody's storm as something like, that's a piece of cake. I don't know why they're having troubles, man. That's nothing, right? Or how many of us have went to that storm and you're seeing another individual, another brother in Christ going through that same storm? What do we do? Some of us are scared to talk to them because we don't know what to say. Some of us are saying, well, that testimony I have, I just don't know. Well, if you've went through that storm, help the one that's going through that storm. Help them out. Help them go through that. And I want to talk about another scripture here because it fits right into this one. And it talks about the storms again in James chapter 1. Everybody likes James, don't they? James just gets right down to the nuts and bolts. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, he says this. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. What? Count it pure joy when you encounter various trials. That's hard. That's hard. When you're going through a trial, James says, count it pure joy. And he carries on in verse 3, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. You see, so often we get caught up in living for today, right? We're living for today. We're even talking about people who have your best life now, right? No, we're not going to go there. But there's ones out there that there's self-help books, all these things, right now. You can have everything right now. My friends, it's not about right now. It's not about having your best life now. It's about having your best life hereafter. Amen? Because you can think you're living you're living the dream right now. And yet, you're losing everything. You say, well, it's not worth all these trials. It's not worth all this tribulation. It's just easier to live that other way. You see, God is preparing us for something far greater than what we have here. Those trials, those tribulations, it is making our character. It is making us who we are. It is making us a person of integrity. It is building who we are. Christ wants us to be Christ to someone else. Not that we are going to be Christ, but yet our light, the Christ that shines through us, they will see that through them. Now, I'm going to kind of sum it up here pretty quick, and I probably won't talk till 2:30. I know that's going to break a lot of y'all's hearts and everything. But a little story I have to share with you. Why it's important to go through these trials, and it kind of goes with the water thing. When I was a child, I don't know, probably 10, 12, 13-ish, we'd always go down to Buchanan Lake all the time. We'd spend like 2 weeks down there on vacation. And Dad and them, they had all had the boats, and all my cousins and stuff, they go skiing. Well, I was still too young to go skiing. But yet, I wanted to go skiing. So Dad says, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to let you go skiing this year, but you're going to have to do this. I'm like, okay, what's this? He said, we're going to take you out in a boat, and we're going to take you out about a mile out in the water. We're going to put a life jacket on you, and we're going to throw you over the boat. Get back to camp. What? You're crazy. If you want to go skiing, that's what's going to happen. Okay. So sure enough, they put the life jacket on, they hauled me out there, and they kicked me out, and they left. They're gone. I'm out there all alone by myself. I'm dog paddling back, you know, and all of a sudden some of these things start getting in your mind, right? Well, what if I drowned? What if the big yellow cat comes up and grabs my feet, right? All these things, but yet it's all in my mind. You see, I got a life jacket on. I could just sit and bob for all day long and I wouldn't drown. But yet my mind starts to think these things. You see, another thing that goes along with that, when we are swimming, right? How many people like to go swimming, but they like to see the bottom of the river? They like to see the bottom, right? And why is that? Because we're scared if we don't see the bottom, what's down there? Better yet, sometimes we go swimming and we don't like to get more than this deep. As long as you're this deep, you're never going to have to swim. I want to tell you something. I want to close with this, and I'm going to try to stay still. I really am, because they're like, stop with the camera. Listen to this. As long as you stay in the shallows, you're never going to experience the blessing that God gives you. You're saying, well, why is that? You see, as long as you can touch bottom, as long as you can see bottom, there's no reason for you to tread water, right? There's no reason. I had a life jacket on, and I was still treading water. So I encourage you, take that life jacket off. Get out in the deep water. Deep water where you can't touch anymore. You have to tread water. How long can you tread water for? Not very long. They taught us in you know, use stuff, but say you're in your BVDs or whatever, right? And you're treading water. It is then that your faith is tested. It is then that you can experience the blessings that God gives you. Because as long as you stay on the beach or in the shallows, you're never going to experience that part. Because you're still relying on who? Me. Because I can still touch bottom. I can still see bottom. It's not till you truly give in. It's not till you truly look at that storm and look at that storm and say, I'm taking that storm head on. It's not till we look at this corona thing head on and say, you know what? I'm not going to be scared anymore. I'm going to move head on into this. It's that thing at work that's going on. I'm not going to be scared anymore. I'm going to get in the deep water. I'm going to see what God can do with this. You see, that's what it's all about. That's why the storms come, my friends. That's why they come. It's not about what we can do in the storm. It's about what God can do in the storm. And then one more quick thing. I know I said that 3 times already. One more quick thing is, I know they give a preacher a microphone and it's like they never shut up. It's like, man, would you please? No, really, really, this is the last one, and I promise you, is this. Paul, the disciple Paul, the apostle Paul, right? A great man. He had an affliction. And I want us to remember this, and I don't know, and I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm not going to turn to the scripture. But Paul had an affliction. And with his affliction, he prayed 3 times. I got afflictions, and I pray more than 3 times, and it's, you know. But this is what I want us to know. This is what I want us to hear is this. Whatever storm you're in, whatever issue you're in, whatever thorn is in your side, God says this, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever storm you're facing, he says to you, my grace is sufficient for you. You say, I can't tread anymore. I need help. Come on, get in the boat. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what I want us to understand this morning. If you haven't heard anything else yet, please go home with that. That yes, that storm's going to come. It's not when, but if it's going to come. I guarantee you a storm's going to come. It's how you react to that storm. And you may be freaking out, you may be panicking, but just remember that His grace is sufficient for you. Amen. What else we do? That's it? Closing prayer? I can do that too. Let us pray. Wow. Gracious God, we come to you today. We come to you as we face these storms in life. We come to you as we face these trials in life, gracious God. We just ask that you'll empower us with your Holy Spirit, gracious God. We ask that you'll infill us with your Holy Spirit, a new fresh wind, a fresh fire that will come into us, that we can look that storm head on and say, only with the power of Jesus Christ that I can face this. And as we go out of this place, let us, as we do hit those storms, let the people around us see Christ in us and see how we react to that storm. It's in Christ's most precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.